Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad that you are here. My name is Hope, and my husband John is also here.
Yep, I am here.
And I believe that we can officially be okay with saying Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, we are finally into December. I can't say finally because it kind of just ran up on us really fast.
I know, it got here so fast.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, one of those things that they say very frequently, which, you know, people might just kind of glaze over, but it really is true, is that Jesus is the reason for the season.
I have heard that before.
Yes, yes. I mean, quite literally, we would not have a Christmas without Jesus.
Very true.
Yes. I mean, people can celebrate Christmas now without Jesus.
Right.
But we wouldn't be having Christmas. So I just was thinking about that. It was back in September. I was talking to Abby. She had just had her birthday, just kind of towards the end of September, the same day as your birthday.
It was the same day.
Yes, same day.
You know, that happens every year.
Every year. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I can finally talk about Christmas now. And I said, oh, is it officially Christmas time? And she's like, no, it's always Christmas time. And so I guess she just felt free to talk about it. Otherwise, you know, people kind of like, be quiet, stop. It's not Christmas time yet. So, and the Christmas music has been playing ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's lots of fun that we can have around Christmas.
Yeah.
But truly, Jesus is the reason for the season. In fact, I think Jesus is for every season.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, it's kind of a simplistic thing, possibly, for some people. But in our culture, when we talk about salvation, we talk about inviting Jesus into our hearts. And I think that that's something, I don't know if every single culture looks at it like that. I know some cultures, like their heart is their stomach. Like that's like the central place that they'll talk about. It's kind of like their middle section, not necessarily their heart, but I know, but the majority of people, like all growing up and way before that and everything, they refer to salvation as inviting Jesus into, our hearts.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at some verses about Jesus in us. At one point, this was a little while ago, and the word in really stuck out to me, which it's always interesting when God does that, when he just, this little tiny word that no one ever really acknowledges, he just brought it to my attention. So I said, you know what, let me look into this. So in the Greek, the word in is actually en. It's en. Is what the word is in Greek. And it means, we're gonna get a little word geeky here for a little bit, but stay with me. I'm going to pull it all together. So the
Do you
word,
promise you're going to pull it together?
Yes. Well, I'm going to try my best with God's help. So the word en means it's a fixed position in time, place, or state. It's a relation of rest. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time. It's a fixed place or a fixed position in a place, time, or state, a relation of rest. So there are actually two words that en is, it's intermediate between these two other Greek words, which you wouldn't think there would be so much in one little word, but there is.
Mm-hmm.
So intermediate between two different words. So let me explain both of them, and then we're going to dive into the first one and then get to the second one in just a little bit. So the first word is ex, E-X. It's basically, it means, it's a point where action or motion proceeds from or out of a place, time, or cause. So it means out of, basically, which rings a bell with, are you thinking it?
No.
Of Exodus.
Oh, or it, just exit.
Or exit. Exactly. Exactly. I think it kind of crosses over with the Latin, which is where a lot of our words came from. And so EX means out of. So you might think of the book of Exodus, where Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And so the word X means out of.
Yeah,
exactly. And then actually the rest of it would be Otis, Odious, is the second part, means a place, a road, a way. So it means out of a place or out of the road. So X means out of. And then the second word that kind of hugs around the word EN, we have X on this side. And then on the other side, we have ice. So this other word means to or into, indicating the point, reach, or entering of a place or time. It also means that it's abundant, continual, more exceeding for a purpose or an intent. So it's a pretty intense into. Mm-hmm. So we have the one side that's saying out of, and then we have the other side saying into.
Okay.
And both of these words, I kind of look at them almost like in tension, like they actually work together. So hopefully I'll be able to paint the picture enough to for understanding to be there. So first of all, the part out of, the EXX, we choose to live for Jesus. We're not of this world. Right. I have a couple different scriptures here there's actually a ton of them, but I'm just going to just kind of go down a couple of different scriptures here. If you're driving or you don't have pen and pencil and you like notes, these references will be with the notes with the with the podcast. You can get the notes there. John 15:19, Jesus is speaking. If you were of the world, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. John 17:16, this is Jesus still speaking. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. John 17:14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So there's a ton of it. And so let me just preface when I say the world, I'm not talking about the earth. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about worldly things. So we're going to get a little bit more into that, but I'm not talking about like earth or the people when I say the world. So the world is being made reference of as far as kind of like our humanity, like the things that we tend to do outside of Jesus. So what does that necessarily mean to you when I ask, you know, when we say out of this world, like we are not of this world?
Well, I mean, I think of it the other way, like what you were saying, mm-hmm. like I think like I'm an alien, you know, that's what I think.
I think there's a verse that actually says
there
that.
There is. Is that in Romans maybe?
It probably is. There's a lot.
but I don't know. I just think I go from the perspective of we are not of this world. That's the where mm-hmm. I come from when I think about that. And so it's just that we're just passing through kind of a thing, mm-hmm. you know, we're visiting tourists for a season. I don't
right.
know.
Right.
That's kind of the way I look at that.
Initially, when I'm thinking specifically that how we're not of this world, I think of I think it's probably older people that they talk about going home, and that's graduating to heaven.
Yeah.
That's, you know, once our bodies wear out, or, you know, and we're not absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
So, so we're not of this world. So I think about that, like when people reference, being with God as home,
yeah,
because that is our home. Our home is Him, not this world.
Which is a lot to think about, or a lot to think, it's a lot to comprehend, maybe. That's a good way to put it, because in life, this is what we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're standing on the, we are not of this world, but we haven't seen the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's in faith.
Right. Right. It absolutely is. In fact, I was talking to somebody the other day, and this isn't necessarily what we're talking about, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it because it came to mind. In Hebrews, it talks about how the invisible, Jesus, in the spiritual, created everything that we can see. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but everything that we can see was created from the invisible, from God who's invisible. And so it's really hard to understand that actually that world is dominant over what we can see. Mm-hmm. And so to remember that everything that we can see is submissive to the Creator that's invisible. And so to be able to really grasp that and understand that, yes, we see the lack in our checkbook. We see, or I mean, anymore people checking their bank statements on their phone. That's a little dated when I say checkbook.
What
I know.
That?
I don't even know if we have one.
No, we have one.
Okay.
I think I write one check every, I don't know, six years or something.
But yeah, I mean, you know, whenever we're looking at the things that just seem so impossible, we need to remember that it's submissive to Jesus. It submisses to His name. So be encouraged by that. Maybe somebody needed to hear that. So that meaning that we're not of this world, when we choose to follow Jesus and we're restored back into the relationship with God, the way that we were created to be, and we're spending time with God and reading His word, and day by day, we become more like Jesus and less like the person we were. And the person we were was full of sin. Was when we talk about the world, it's full of sin. It's very self-gratifying. Like the choices, all the choices that I make are for me. You know, you don't need to teach a two-year-old to say mine, 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 mine.
Right.
That's human nature just showing its face.
Yeah.
I mean, it's self-gratifying. It's what I want. Doesn't matter who it hurts. Doesn't matter what I have to take advantage of. Doesn't matter who I have to step on to get up the ladder of whatever. I mean, all those different things. All those things are worldly things.
Yeah.
And that is how we tend to be. We tend to be that way, you know, selfish, or not necessarily think of other people, a tendency to lie, all those things. Honestly, so much of the sins come down to self-gratification.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that kind of just sums it up.
Yeah.
As far as worldly things go. But, if we decide to follow Jesus and live for Him, He is, telling us that we're not of this world. So I think that we definitely need to realize that, because I think some people are like, oh, I got Jesus in my heart, I'm good. And they go on about their life, and it's not the way it works.
Right.
It's not the way it works. It's not the way that He intended for it to work. So I was talking with somebody a couple weeks ago, and she said to me, why is it that the things that are around me, they didn't used to bother me before? She said, why do they bother me now? Like, I think it was other people, like friends and possibly some family, like she's realizing that they're doing the same things that they always did, but why does it bother me now? And I said, well, just that. You've been growing in Jesus. You've been changing. The more time you spend with him, the more you change. And all of a sudden, what used to be okay isn't okay anymore. Mm. And it bothers you. And I was like, you're the one who's changed.
Right.
And she was like, oh, wow, that's kind of crazy. But that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, that's what should be happening. We are we are called out of this world. It reminds me of like a cheesy Valentine. You're out of this world.
Yeah. Woo.
But that's what he says. So Philippians 3:20 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as followers of Jesus, we are called to be different. We're called to be different. And our citizenship is in heaven. He's our home. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Romans 12:2, this is my all-time favorite. I have lots of favorites, but this is one that holds really, really close to my heart. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So clearly, we are not supposed to be of this world. So going back to our words that we were talking about, the EX, the X part of the word in, means out of. So Jesus is actively calling us out of this world. He wants us to not be conformed to it. He wants us to not be a part of the things that we once wanted to do and we might still want to, depending on where you're at in your journey. He wants us to be more like him and not like the world, not like our tendencies that we have, you know, when we are in the world. So he is always calling us out of. So that's kind of the one part of this, the word in or EN in the Greek. The X means out of this world. He's calling us out of it. So let's talk about the second word. So earlier I was talking about salvation and how we say Jesus is in our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. That's very common. Mm-hmm. You know, you say the salvation prayer. That's how they explain it. But did you know that in the Bible, it's only said a very few times about Jesus being in us? And every single time it is paired with, and if anybody else finds this, please let me know because I have yet to find it. But any other time or any time that it says it in the Bible, how Jesus is in us, it is paired right along with how we are in him. Mm. So it actually is said more frequently about how we are in him. Saying that Jesus is in our hearts is not wrong. It's not wrong at all. I just believe that the picture of how we are in Jesus is just a more complete picture mm-hmm. of the reality mm-hmm. of what we are called to be. Mm-hmm. We are called to be in Jesus. From the time that we choose to serve him, we are living our lives in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:4-7 says, and I love Paul. He is the king of run-ons, but they're amazing. I mean, what he says is amazing. Sometimes I try to like pick it apart and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is like 10 lines for one sentence. But this is an amazing one. Ephesians 2:4-7. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So that's a whole lot.
There was a lot of words there.
It's a lot of words. He says in like a million times. So if you didn't get that, but we are in Christ Jesus. We are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And for those of you who don't know, Christ is not Jesus's first name. Christ means anointed one. It's just another way of proclaiming Jesus as the anointed one. Anyways, that's just a little side note. Because of God's grace towards us, when we choose to follow Jesus, he has raised us up. We are dead to the old. We're coming out of that world. And we are new in him and then seated in heavenly places because that's where Jesus is. He's in heavenly places. So this is just looking at the word in is just, and being in Jesus is, I believe, a completely different approach, and it helps your perception of your life with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, but part of it is when we think that Jesus is in our heart, and I've kind of talked about this before, sometimes people think like he's just like an addition. Mm. We just add him on, like, you know,
oh, an accessory,
right? Like an accessory, like, yeah. Like, oh, okay, good. I'm going to make it to heaven. Okay. Let me just go on about doing what I want to do, you know? And they kind of don't see the gravity of what is really happening or what needs to happen. So before, when we were talking about, ice, the second part that means the going into, it also talked about abundantly or continually or more exceeding. It just, it has this ongoing feeling of, so it's a process and it's more. It's more and more and more and more and more. It's not just, okay, you're in, you're good. You know, it's just, it's a process. And this definitely points right to, again, one of my all-time favorite themes. Abiding. I can't say it enough because honestly, it is the answer to everything. Abiding in Jesus. Let's see. John 14:19-20 says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that time, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. So it can tend to be like a little excessive, but I love it because it's very clear.
Yeah.
Jesus is in the Father. We are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you take Play-Doh and you take all the different colors and you mix it together and you just keep mixing it and you can't separate them anymore.
And then it's like an ugly color.
But this is beautiful, though.
Right.
This is a beautiful thing. You just can't tear it apart.
Yeah.
You can't pick, you know, once, you know, Jesus is in the Father. When we decide to follow Jesus, he is in us. We are in him. We are in the Father. We're all just vibing together.
Yeah.
You know, you can't tear us apart and you can't separate us. You know, I was just thinking in marriages or in weddings, when they do like the sand and everything, they should do Play-Doh. No one's done Play-Doh.
Maybe we should tell our kids, hey, guys, when you're thinking about getting married, when you find significant others,
yes,
I want you to do the Play-Doh. And they're going to be like, what?
What is your favorite colors.
Like, what is the Play-Doh?
And then you could just be up on stage and you both can just be mushing.
Maybe we could start a TikTok trend. The Play-Doh that. People.
Play-Doh people. discussion for another day.
Yeah.
Sorry. A little rabbit trail there.
I think we just found a way to get rich.
We got to go on Shark Tank.
We're going to sell wedding Play-Dohs.
Well, we can't call it Play-Doh.
Right.
I don't know. We have to call it Fundo or something. Something that's something different.
Weddo.
Do weddo at your wedding. Oh, my goodness. We're really far off base now.
It's all good. This is just how people know who we are.
This is true. This is true. I am goofy. That's how I like to feel young. I just act silly, and so it makes me feel
young. Wait, you younger. Are young.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Yeah, I try. You have to be young for me to be young.
See? That's true. Same age.
That's how that works. Same. So we're back to the selfish thing that we talked about before.
I'm just glad we don't have these bodies forever. That is what I am glad about. Okay, so when we abide in Jesus, It's just, it really is the answer to everything. I mean, we are in him. We live in him. It is that continual, exceeding, abundant. In fact, Jesus even talks about how in John 10:10, how he has come to give us abundant, give us life and give it abundantly. So he is the over the top guy, you know. He always has a one up, whether he's not the one upper, but he always has a one up.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's see. John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So, you know, I was talking about this the other day, and it's like, you know what? We can do things without Jesus. Mm. We can do some things. But I believe what he's referencing here is that we can't do anything worth anything. Mm. It doesn't have any eternal worth. Whatever I think I can do, it amounts to nothing.
Right. Like you can cut the grass without Jesus.
Right.
Or make a cake.
Right.
Or...
But if you do it with him, you know how the term where people make things with love, when they cook with love, when you do it with him, it's always better.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's why, you know, you're always saying, well, whenever you make it, it tastes so much better.
It does.
I know it's all scam, but it's okay.
It's not a scam. It's the truth.
Okay. Okay. So I just kind of have another picture I want to draw that maybe can help a little bit with us being in Jesus. So, saying that Jesus is in me, which like I said before, is not wrong. It's a proper thing. I'm going to liken it to water. Okay. So if I have a glass of water and I take a drink of it, the water does me good. The water is good for my body, right? We need water. Our body's like 70% water or something like that. So taking the water into me is a good thing. It benefits my body, but nobody, unless they saw me take a drink of water, knows that I took a drink of water. Mm. They don't know it. It's in me. Which again is beneficial, but nobody else knows it. Nobody can tell except for the fact that I'm not dehydrated and dying because I didn't drink.
Like right now when I take this drink of water.
Exactly. But nobody else knows that you've taken that drink. They can come in the room right now and they have no idea that you took a drink.
Right.
Right. Because the water's in you. So, but when we are in Jesus and if we're likening Jesus to water,
we gonna get all wet.
Yes. It's like us going into a pool. So when we go into a pool, one, the water gets everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It gets up your nose. It gets in your ears. It gets in your eyes. It gets in your mouth.
Yeah.
The water gets everywhere. Yeah. There's nothing that the water doesn't touch. And so whenever we choose to be in Jesus and... Okay, so I did talk about how when we choose to follow Jesus, we are in him. And we are, but I think people, the lack of perception, the lack of acknowledgement that we are in him keeps us from realizing and being aware of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So being aware that we are in Jesus, just like a pool, if we go into a pool, that means that every part of us is touched by Jesus.
Right.
Every part of us is influenced. Every part of our lives should be influenced by Jesus. And I believe that stopping at Jesus is in my heart, the perception, the understanding, the acknowledgement of us being in Jesus and how he wants to be a part of every single part of our lives. How we raise our kids, how we cook, how we work, where we go, how we talk, every single thing he wants to influence. He wants to be a part of it. And if we can picture ourselves being in Jesus, like we're in the pool, then, you know, we can kind of have a better concept of how he wants to be a part of everything. So whenever we get out of the pool, everybody knows we've been in the pool.
Right.
So when we're in Jesus, everybody should know.
Right.
Everybody should see that we're in Jesus.
Yeah.
Because we should be dripping Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of cool, that it was part of the picture that Jesus showed me when I was kind of diving into this, because this totally from God, this whole pool thing, totally from God. And then when you watch somebody after they've gotten out of the pool and they start walking alongside the pool on the dry concrete, mm-hmm. you can see where they've been.
Yeah.
You can see how you can see Jesus on them, but where they walk, there's change. Mm. There's an evidence that they've been there. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, there's a footprint
yeah.
of them,
yeah.
you know, behind them. I don't know if I'm drawing a really great picture of that, but there's an influence that happens with that. They don't mean to. It's just because they were in Jesus.
Right.
And so wherever they walk, there's Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like it just kind of just drips off of them,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. influences other people. So, okay. So this whole picture of the word, the Greek word N, that is intermediate between these other two words are X, the EX, and ice. So the EX means out of, so Jesus is calling us out of the world. And into him, the ice is into him. So if you can kind of picture this, I don't know, kind of a cheesy English diagram in your head. So this doesn't mean, because this is an ongoing thing, being in Jesus, it's both of them. It's being out of the world and into Jesus. It doesn't mean that when you're not thinking about Jesus, that you're not in Jesus. Like if you are following Jesus, you are in Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's a whole process. It's a state of mind where we're always being conscious of not being of the world and being in Jesus. It doesn't equate to not being saved. It's a process that it's just a state of being.
Well, it's like you talked before about maybe there's a bit of a tension between the two.
Yeah.
And I think that that's because the reality is that as a human, you're pursuing being in Jesus, but then also you're being attracted back.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's almost like there's this magnet and you're the thing in the middle and the magnet pulls you this way and then right. this way. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah. So, I mean, it's just that. So that's why it continues to be a process, because it's almost like you can ebb and flow. You need to keep going. You need to keep right. working towards the thing you're pursuing, because the thing that you're coming out of is still always going to be there, and it's going to try to be attracting to you or attracting mm-hmm. you to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Until we are in eternity with Jesus,
right?
We are always going to be in this place.
You know, we're sitting here and I'm doing all this stuff with my hands.
I know,
it's
me
like
too.
No one can see my hands.
That's why I said like picture like a diagram.
Just folks, just so you know, we're moving our hands a lot, both of us.
I mean, you know, the EX is on my left right. and the ice is on my right.
Yeah.
Yes, until we are in eternity with Jesus and we have arrived at our glorified body and whatever that looks like.
Right.
And we're not in this world literally anymore. We won't need this.
Right.
But right now we do.
Right.
Because the world is always trying to pull us back.
Right.
Mainly because the enemy wants to try to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first part of John 10:10 I just talked about. But Jesus has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. That's yeah. the second part of John 10:10. So because we have this enemy who just wants to take as many people as he can with him because he already knows his end. And so that part of us is always going to kind of try to pull us back into that. But we're going to do the things that we know to do, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to keep joining others, whether it's in life groups and at church, and encourage one another and keep reading the word and obviously spending lots of time with God. All of those things to be able to be out of the world,
yeah.
you know? be out of this world.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. And being in Jesus. So it doesn't mean that you're not saved. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just this place where we're in this journey where hopefully we're being more in Jesus and knocking off all that junk that's from the world. Possibly this might help a little bit. It's kind of like a marriage. Okay. So when you get married, you have your wedding and you're married, right?
Especially if they have wed dough.
Yes. Wed dough. It makes me want to play with Play-Doh. So anyways, whenever you get married, you're married, right? It's not like you're not married the next day because your wedding was the day before. You're married.
Right.
Right. So when you're saved, you're saved. Jesus has saved you. So we are in Jesus. However, there's a maintenance plan. There has to be a maintenance plan. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a maintenance plan for your marriage, then it probably is not going to last very long. So what do you think should be a part of the maintenance?
That was not the question you told me.
To maintain. Okay, let me read it. Let me read it so that we have. Can you give me an example of how we maintain our marriage?
We have to be purposeful mm-hmm. in all things. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, we have to be purposeful in how we talk to each other. We have to be purposeful in how we act around each other. We have to be purposeful in spending time together. And the list can go on and on and on. So, I mean, right. I think it's doing what you're doing with purpose. Mm,
that's good. I like that. It kind of, it supports all of it. You know, date your spouse.
Right.
Keep going on dates. Keep talking, spending that time together. And that is very likened to the maintaining of being out of this world and in Jesus. Mm-hmm. We have to keep that maintenance up. We have to every day. I mean, it's been, I don't even know how many years, well into 40 some years that I've been with Jesus. it requires maintenance.
Yeah.
It does. And sometimes I wasn't so good, especially way early on. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, you know, yeah. You're kind of in and out, but you just always have to pick yourself back up and keep going.
Yeah.
You have to maintain it. And that is what really matters, that continual pursuing Jesus, because he's pursuing you and being in him. So I hope that I painted an okay picture for you today for the little word in. Again, in the Greek, it's E-N, the word N. Just to kind of paint a good picture of this tension and especially being in Jesus. That is really, if you get anything out of this, think of that pool and how he wants us to be in him and be a part of every part of our lives. He wants to influence all of it because you know what? He can only make it better.
Yeah.
I promise you, anything that he does is going to be way better than anything I can think of or do or anything in any which way. So I hope that everybody, you know, got a good idea of that today and maybe change your perception a little bit. You know, Jesus is not just in my heart, but I'm in him. You're in him. And he wants to be a part of everything. So be encouraged and you have a great beginning of your December. I hope you're done with your shopping. Yeah. I know I'm not.
And you know I'm not either. Have I even started yet?
We have one. We got one for the dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're getting Play-Doh, so.
Oh, yay. All right. Well, everyone, you have a fantastic beginning of your December, and we will see you next time. You continue believing in the one and only true God, and we will see you next time.